Let me first say that there are three main patriotic days that I like for the church to observe. The others are Independence Day and Veterans Day, but this one, Memorial Day, tomorrow, is when our nation remembers those who gave their lives in service to our country. You may have in your family or among those that you have known people who have made that sacrifice. But men and women, some no more than boys or girls, who put on uniforms and went away from family and friends, from hometown and familiar routines to train for service that involved risk and called for courage. And many of them never returned home. So we honor them today, and we do thank God for the sacrifice that they made for home, for family, for comrades, and for freedom. We are ourselves the richer and the stronger for the gift that they gave and for the grief their loved ones carry as a result. So I want to take a moment to offer a Memorial Day prayer, one that was written by my colleague, the Reverend Colonel Jeff Guild, Presbyterian minister and retired Air Force chaplain. Jeff says, as he presents the prayer, he says, "May we never forget that freedom is not free. So pray for God's restraining hand upon world leaders in this time when we are hearing rumors of wars. Grace and peace." Please pray with me. O Lord, our God, we are ever grateful for the gift of freedom that we enjoy this day, because of the sacrifices of so many during times of war and strife. As we pause to give you thanks, we would remember those soldiers, sailors, Marines, and airmen who have given much to us, we who enjoy the benefits of this land of freedom and justice. Uphold their families and loved ones who feel their loss deeper than words can express. For those who have not yet returned from fields of battle, we ask you to sustain them and their families. May we, the many, not squander the gift given by the few who have laid so costly a sacrifice upon the altar of freedom. It is in the name of the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. So the scriptures appointed for today in the lectionary, these are two of the four lectionary scriptures appointed for today. They include Psalm 67 and that wonderful passage from Revelation 21 and 22. And I offer an apology that I put an S on Revelation. The book is The Revelation of John. It is Revelation. But we think of them as revelations. Anyway, no excuses. I did it wrong. But both of these passages lift up the world in powerful ways. And I think that's really fitting as we think today about the world in the context of our American Memorial Day, in the context of recognizing the cost of war. So what I want to do, and I'm going to do it with the slides, is lift up these passages. And first, we'll read through parts of them, the parts I made yellow. And then I'll come back and talk a bit about Psalm 67 and then about Revelation. Join me in reading the yellow verses here. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. That's verse 1. For you judge the people with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, that your way may be known upon the earth, your saving power among all nations. And I think I have one more. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. We don't like that S on there either, do we? But it's there. Let all the peoples. What does that indicate to you? I guess to me, it sort of means peoples are the nations, those groups of people that hang together in units. So it's not just people, individuals, but the peoples that gather together. I think that's my last one from Psalm 67. So, the Psalm 67 starts with the benediction. I can go back to that there. Oh, back here. It starts with the benediction we know. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. A benediction, a blessing for all God's people. And then the psalmist affirms that God judges all people with fairness and guides the nations. And so we see that in verse 4. For you, God, you judge the peoples with equity. You are the one who knows what fairness can be in judgment. You judge the people and you guide the nations upon the earth. So what we need to do is to look and listen and follow. And then all the nations would be glad, singing for joy. All the nations glad and singing for joy. And then the psalmist offers this deep, I think, and heartfelt prayer that God's way may be known upon the earth and God's saving power among all the nations. So the prayer is that in the end, all the people, all the nations, all the communities will know and give thanks to the Creator God, the Savior. So let all the peoples praise you, O God. So I don't really know about all of you, but it seems to me that the prayer and affirmation of this psalm are truly needed in our own time because we seem to be so divided. The nations of the world and our own country as well. We see that the nations of the earth are not in agreement about what is needed. We see that it is tempting for each one to look out for its own interests instead of seeking the good of all. That is certainly what we see here at home. We see politics getting in the way of concern for human beings and care of the earth. Someone said, you know, that being a Democrat or a Republican is more important to a lot of folks than being an American. And I fear that may be true. But don't our hearts break? Don't our hearts break when we see more and more destruction in Syria? The images of that are incredible. And don't our hearts break when we hear about the continuing spread of Ebola in Africa, in the Congo? Despite all our efforts, still people sicken and die. And don't our hearts break when we hear about measles still threatening people in our own country? Though we thought we had eliminated that disease long ago. I think 2005 is when we thought it was finished. And don't our hearts break when we hear leaders of nations threatening and insulting one another instead of looking to what is positive and hopeful in our lives and in our work together, seeking to find solutions for each nation's need. And don't our hearts break when here at home we hear of people being murdered or abused or threatened or left in poverty and sickness? Or don't our hearts break when school children are trained in what to do if someone bad comes into their classrooms or when it actually happens? Don't our hearts break? Don't we wish for the affirmations of Psalm 67 to be true? Well, let's look then at Revelation 21. Oh, we got it right there. Look, Revelation 21. And I'll do what I did before. I'm going to walk you through some of the text because I've highlighted some of these verses that really spoke to me. Look at what John says, and in the Spirit, what? He carried me away to a great high mountain. I'm going to talk a minute about thin spaces. Any of you heard about thin places, thin spaces? You know about thin places? No hands? Oh my goodness. There's some talk in spiritual kind of communities, even the church, about places that seem to be incredibly close on a spiritual level, where you sense God's presence there. I learned about this out in Sedona, Arizona. They said there were vortexes that came down, and we were on hikes, and they said, see those people, they're at a vortex. Well, I don't know about that, but I know that Cedar Kirk is a thin place for me, that Montreat is a thin place for me, that there are some places, maybe even in a cemetery, where you might go, where someone has been buried or their ashes interred, that become a thin place for you, where you know that God hears your prayers, and where in some magical way maybe you sense God's voice and presence for you. They call that a thin place. I wonder if that's that great high mountain in this passage. I saw no temple in the city. Why? For its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. How amazing that God might be the temple. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb, the Savior, Jesus Christ. And its gates, the city's gates, will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. Then John's revelation says an angel showed him the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. And on either side of the river is the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Incredible. Let's see if I can pull this off again. Where'd we end up? There. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could spread this kind of vision from Revelation around the world, to all the nations, to all the peoples of the world, so that everyone could look down from a high mountain or some other place that they might know is a thin place, some special place, a place where the spiritual seems so close that we might be seeing and hearing from God's own heart. And then looking with our own heart from that thin place, that we would see what God wants for us all. What a wonderful vision that would be for us. For, in fact, the place of the people would be filled with the presence of God. And the place of the people would be filled with light, with no darkness and no night of evil or hate or ugliness, because God is there. What a powerful vision. And the place of the people would be a place where gates are open and people can come and go in safety. The place of the people, a place where nations continue, but they live in harmony. A place where the leaders of nations talk together and respect the rights of all. And I love that in John's vision, there is clean water. A friend of mine used to do mission trips to Honduras, and she would train the groups that were going down there to set up a water system that would take the water of that community and purify it so those people could come there and fill bottles and jugs with clean water. What a powerful mission. What a wonderful thing. For a church to raise the money to pay for that and then send a group over to create it, to build it, and to train the men and women in that community to maintain it. So if there were repairs needed, they knew how to make those repairs. So they had the materials to maintain that system of clean water. In John's vision, in Revelation, the water is clean and it's flowing from the throne of God. And there's also delicious fruit year-round. Look at that. 12 kinds of fruit producing its fruit each month. There's no month in the year without delicious, nutritious fruit, food for all. Oh, and the other thing there is that fruit, that tree grows on either side of the river. That's a funny thing, isn't it? Think about, is it one tree that straddles a river? Or is it a couple of trees that are all the same kind on either side of the river? You know how your dreams don't always make sense? This is a vision. It may not be exactly what we think makes sense. But it's a tree that grows on both sides of the river, available to all people. There's no divide of color or language or religion or creed, of poverty or wealth, of political party, of nation. It is there for all. And then John's vision says this: the leaves of that tree shall be for the healing of the nations. That's God's vision. That's God's vision for God's creation. This world, this universe God made in the first place, it's what God wants and what God will provide. There's a vision for us for Memorial Day weekend, a tree standing right there bringing delicious food and healing, and I'll bet that tree is the tree of forgiveness, because what could bring better healing than that? Well, on Wednesday, I attended a workshop at St. Leo Abbey. There you see it, and the lake behind it, and kind of the room. I attended a workshop called Engaging Aging in Today's World. And I thought I would close with a story from that day. Ray Jones, who's the director in our Presbyterian denomination of evangelism and other things, I guess, in his keynote address, told about churches that are rediscovering their mission, their vitality, and their faith. So one church he told about had begun to fail. There were few at worship. There were no children in that congregation anymore. There was no sense of direction except a desire to survive, a nostalgia about who we used to be, and they were struggling to see what God had left for them to do. But to their credit, they started talking about it, listening to one another, reading stories from the scripture and praying together, doing something like what we did last year in our new journey sessions. And Ray Jones tells how one day, one member of the session said to the other elders at their meeting, he said, "Well, I've been thinking about how there's an Air Force base only 2 miles down the road, and maybe there's some way we could be of service over there." And one of the other elders said, "Well, what do you think they would need that we could supply? They've got the whole American government taking care of them." And the first elder said, "Well, I don't really have any idea, but I'm willing to go down there and find out." And then, to the surprise of the rest of the session, the second elder said, "Well, I'm willing to go with you." So they set a day, and they got in the car, and they drove down to the Air Force base. Now, Ray Jones didn't tell us how they got on the base, or who they talked to, or what they saw down there. And as someone, I'm telling you, I live in South Tampa, as someone who's lived pretty close to the MacDill Air Force Base for 35 years, I know it's important to think about how you get on a base and who you talk to there. Ray Jones didn't explain that, but he did tell us what those elders found out. You see, those elders came back to report that, like most military bases, the families living there had come from places far away and scattered all about. They didn't have family nearby. There were no grandparents on the base. And the families missed the support And the children missed contact with an older generation. It just wasn't there in their life and in their context. So as these two elders came back and reported, the church session said, "Well, we know how to be grandparents. We can go to baseball games. We can go to swimming meets. We can cheer for those kids on that base like their grandparents would if they were here. It may not be much, but we can do that much." So you know what? That church started going down to that base. They worked it out. Every Little League baseball game, I don't know, do military bases have Little League? However they did baseball games, every game the church was there cheering for those kids. Every swim meet, the church showed up. And the school on the base called up that church and asked, would they come eat lunch with children on Grandparents' Day because they didn't have grandparents to come? And the church said, "Well, yes, of course we will." Immediately they said that. They showed up at that base. And families on the base began to know the people of the church. So over the next couple of years, they began building relationships, friendships, doing more and more things together like a community of families would with their grandparents. And Ray Jones summed up by telling us that church changed from being a church without purpose to a church with excitement and joy, a church with an idea of what God had called them to be, surrogate grandparents, beloved friends to children and families on a nearby Air Force base. Not hard to do, but it became truly important to those people. So in terms of that new Jerusalem that John gives us the vision of, there was light to see by as they walked together, that church and those families on the base. There was a river of clean water to meet the thirst of the Air Force families and of that aging church. And there was delicious fruit on the tree, and there was healing in its leaves. For the church and the people on the base began to feel that God was truly gracious to them, blessing them all. And all the peoples could give God the praise, like we see in Psalm 67. How can the world move from brokenness and division to a sense of God's purpose and hope? That's a question many of us ask ourselves in churches, at home, in our lives, in whatever thin place you find to go for prayer. How can the world move from brokenness and division to a sense of God's purpose and hope? Well, I don't know the answer to that, and perhaps we don't as a group, but I know that God does know the answer. And that what we do with our lives and our ministry contributes to that hope and to that vision, God's vision for the world. Let us pray. On this day, O Lord, when we remember those who gave of their lives in service to our nation and even to our world, we ask you to give us your vision. And let your vision be the light to guide us, and the water to quench our thirst, and the hope to motivate us. In Christ, we pray this day. Amen.